The headlines: addressing foreign dignitaries attending an event to mark the anniversary of Iran's Islamic Revolution, President Raisi said Tehran has managed to turn Western threats and bans into opportunities. Hamas' response to truce proposal reportedly includes a three-phase deal, 45 days each, to secure prisoner swap, aid into Gaza, and the reconstruction, among others. And the U.S.-Israeli genocidal war in Gaza is now in its fifth month, with the U.N. warning against attacks on Rafah, where half of the Gaza population has taken shelter. This is news. Thanks for joining us. The Iranian president says Tehran has managed to turn the West's brutal sanctions into opportunities, adding that the Islamic Republic has made great progress in various fields despite threats and sanctions. Ebrahim Raisi made the remarks in a speech marking the 45th anniversary of Iran's Islamic Revolution. Addressing foreign ambassadors in Tehran, Raisi said Western states imposed a war on sanctions on the Islamic Republic instead of negotiations and accepting Tehran's position. He stressed the sanctions have failed to prevent the Iranian nation from achieving its goals. Raisi added that Tehran has never left and will never leave the negotiating table. One of the main objectives of Iran's Islamic Revolution was to be the voice of all oppressed people in the world, while also lending them a helping hand in their struggle. Martyr Seyyed Razi Mousavi, who was assassinated by Israel in December 2023, was one of the many in Iran helping the oppressed. Farzaneh Ashurian has more.
Sayyid Razi Mousavi.
He was called Farhad when he was alive and remained unknown to most until his assassination in Syria by Israeli forces in December 2023. Razi Mousavi had served as a senior advisor of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps since the early 80s. One of Mousavi's top priorities in his life was to fight for independence, as independence was and still is the key focus of Iran's 1979 revolution.
Our father had wishes both for his country and Islam. He always emphasized that the independence of every country depends on its people. He believed that the independence can lead to development, and we could see this belief in his non-stop efforts to make this cause come true.
Sadegh also mentioned some Western governments working against the country's independence and his father's view about this. Mousavi also played an important role in the resistance against Israel in the region.
My father had a key role in the axis of resistance and fight against the Israeli regime. His efforts overly increased since Israel's onslaught against the Palestinians in Gaza from October 7th.
Razi Mousavi also had a close relationship with the top anti-terror commander, General Qasem Soleimani, who was also assassinated in a 2020 U.S. drone strike in the Iraqi capital of Baghdad. Israel's assassinations of resistance figures in the region, however, have not been able to hinder the steadfastness of the resistance. Farzana Shuryun, Tehran.
A senior Hamas official says the Palestinian resistance movement is trying to secure the release of as many Palestinian prisoners as it can in a possible deal with the Israeli regime. Ghazi Hamad's remarks came after Hamas said it had delivered its response to a ceasefire proposal to key mediators Egypt and Qatar. Reuters says the draft shows the first 45 stages will allow exchange of prisoners, the release of some non-military captives, and the delivery of aid. Will also allow the reconstruction of hospitals and refugee camps in Gaza and the exit of Israeli ground forces from populated areas. According to this draft, Hamas has also proposed indirect talks with Israel in the first stage to end military operations. The second phase, as it shows, will allow the release of all Israeli male captives in exchange for a certain number of Palestinian prisoners and the complete withdrawal of Israeli forces from Gaza. The draft shows remains and bodies will be exchanged in the third 45-day phase. While Palestinians in Gaza are hopeful that a ceasefire would end their ordeal caused by over 4 months of relentless Israeli bombing and shelling, let's take a listen to comments by some of them who say that all they want is peace.
We pray to God that the war stops, and we pray to God that the government stands with the poor people. There is no drinking water, electricity, food, or bathrooms. We use the tents and we drowned. Our women drowned, our children drowned. We were humiliated. What is left?
It is enough. It is enough. We don't want wars. We have been displaced from Gaza for over 4 months. We have been abandoned. We have children, and now we are infected with diseases.
This is a tragic life. We adults do not cling to life because it is full of bombing, destruction, displacement, seeking refuge, assassination, and exile. Therefore, we want a ceasefire for the sake of life for the children. We are tired of this life and this torment.
We demand a ceasefire, and after the ceasefire, the people who were displaced from their homes and left behind their homes, money, and lands will return to their home. We want peace and we don't want war.
We want a truce. We want people to be good. We want to live in safety. We want to live. We want to live like everyone else. Our children and young children are dead. All we want is to live in peace.
Israeli airstrikes have killed at least 14 people in the city of Rafah in the southern Gaza Strip. Dozens more were injured in the overnight attacks. Tank bombardment thundered through Rafah as well. Israel says Rafah is the last remaining stronghold of Hamas and plans ground offensive there. That has raised concerns, as around 1.4 million displaced Gazans are taking shelter in Rafah. The UN has also issued a stern warning against Israel's plan. It said that it will lead to a large-scale loss of civilian lives. The Israeli war has already killed nearly 27,600 people in Gaza since it began in early October. Most of those killed are women and children. Palestinians in the southern Gaza city of Rafah, including the displaced ones, are concerned about the Israeli regime's plan to attack the city. Let's listen to the reaction of some Gazans about the possible attacks on the area where they have taken shelter.
We heard for quite some time that the Israeli military is planning to enter Rafah. It started the expansion from the north and it's about to reach Rafah. So where should we go? We have no choice other than die in our hometown. It's better than going to any other places. If Israeli forces enter Rafah, there will be a genocide because the population in Rafah is currently 1.5 million people. So even if a stone is thrown from above, there will be casualties.
We don't know where to go. We are not even able to sleep. We are anxious for ourselves, for our children, and for our houses. We have dispersed in the tents, and we don't know where to go.
I hear that Israeli forces are coming to Rafah, and this is a tragedy because we were displaced from Beit Lahia to Al-Fakhura to Nusayrat, and then we came here to live in the cold inside the tents. It's not even safe to stay here. The children are scared all the time, and if we want to leave Rafah, we don't know where to go. What will be our destiny and that of our children? I'm not going to leave. I'm staying here. Where should I go? I don't know where to go. I'm staying here. We've reached a dead end. It's the final stage, so let's die here.
The military wing of the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says it has fired rockets at a gathering of Israeli forces in Gaza, killing or wounding a number of them. The Al-Qassam Brigades added it also shot down an Israeli helicopter flying over the El Bridge Palestinian refugee camp in Gaza while the chopper was gathering intelligence. Meanwhile, the Israeli military announced the death of one more of its soldiers in the battle with resistance fighters. Israel has confirmed the loss of 227 of its troops since the launch of a ground invasion of Gaza. However, Hamas says the real figure is much higher, as Tel Aviv underreports the number of casualties. Palestinian fighters have been putting stiff resistance to Israeli forces since the beginning of the regime's war on the besieged strip on October the 7th. The Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah says two of its fighters have been killed in clashes with Israeli forces near Lebanon's southern border. Israel and Hezbollah movement have been engaged in intense fighting since Israel launched its onslaught on Gaza in early October. Our correspondent in Beirut, Mariam Saleh, was earlier with us and gave us details about the latest battles.
Well, in addition to the overnight shelling from the Israeli warplanes, there was also a direct attack by a drone, an Israeli drone, against one of the water pumps, which is used in order to take water from the river of Al-Wazani in the Wazani village to the surrounding towns and villages. We know that that water pump room was extremely damaged, which could probably lead to the fact that there will be shortage of water in that area. Of course, this is just one part of the fact that the Israelis continue to target not only the military sites or civilian sites, but also civilian infrastructure in those towns and villages. Hezbollah has launched, of course, yesterday, several very significant and qualitative operations. They targeted the Hunin post, which is situated and considered by the Lebanese government as Lebanese-occupied town of Hunin. It is called by the Israelis the Ramin post. Hezbollah, in one instance, targeted soldiers. In another instance, they used the Barakan rocket to target the barracks itself. But there was a bigger focus, it seemed, on the barracks in the occupied Lebanese Shabab farms. There were several posts that were targeted. Waisat Al-Anam was targeted two times as well. One of the times they focused on the espionage devices in Waisat Al-Alam, but also the posts of Sumaqa and Ramta were also targeted in the occupied Shabab farms. Hezbollah also of course, the Shabab farms are on the eastern side of the border, on the western side, which is closer to the coast. They targeted the Jal al-Alam post, the barracks, which also, where they said there were soldiers deployed near that barracks. They used Falak 1 to target that post specifically.
The U.S. military has confirmed new attacks by the Yemeni army on ships off the Arab country's western coast. The U.S. military in a statement says six ballistic missiles were fired at two ships in the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden. Said the attack caused minor damage to one ship, but no injuries. Reports say the U.K. has now dispatched a Royal Navy frigate to replace the vessel that sustained damage by missile strike. Yemen says it conducts missile and drone attacks on ships belonging to Israel or those bound for Israeli ports, response to the regime's bloodshed in the Gaza Strip. A spokesman for the Yemeni Armed Forces has emphasized that his country also reserves the right to self-defense in the face of the U.S.-UK aggression. Yahya Sari said attacks on Israeli ships would continue unless the regime ends its siege of Gaza and stops its deadly aggression there. We were earlier joined by the director of the Center for Muslim Affairs, Jahangir Mohammad, from Manchester. He told us about the failure of the U.S. and the U.K. to stop Yemeni's operation in the Red Sea.
That they are going to continue with their campaign to stop ships arriving in Israel as long as the genocide in Gaza continues and nothing is done to stop it. The US and the UK went to and told the world they were going there to stop the Yemenis doing that, and they failed, basically. Yemen, the Yemeni people are used to war. They've been starved and fought against by the US and other Gulf countries for the last nearly decade now, and they're used to this and they've resisted that, so a few ships are not going to make much difference, and they're true to their word. They've said they will continue. It's strange that the actions are taken to prevent genocide by the Yemeni forces, and yet Britain and the United States are actually there to protect Israel and allow it to carry on doing what it's doing. It's a strange world where where you can one party can go and defend oppression, and the one that is trying to stop the oppression is basically are being called a danger to the world and terrorists. And also we know that the United States itself blockades countries such as Venezuela and also Iran and even Gaza. The Israelis stopped even a flotilla to deliver humanitarian aid to Gaza.
The Israel regime has carried out fresh missile strikes in several areas in the western Syrian city of Homs. Health officials in Homs put the death toll at 7 and said 13 others were wounded. The strikes also caused material damage to public and private property. Israel used the Lebanese airspace to launch the early Wednesday strikes. The Syrian air defenses intercepted some of the projectiles. Israel frequently targets Syria, especially the position of resistance fighters, who have played a key role in helping the Syrian army in its fight against foreign-backed terrorists. The strikes have intensified since Israel began its genocidal war in Gaza in early October. Syria has lodged dozens of complaints to the UN against the Israeli violation of its sovereignty. Two powerful blasts have ripped through Pakistan's Balochistan province, leaving at least 24 people dead and many more injured. Police say the first blast occurred outside of the office of an independent election candidate in Peshin, the town near the provincial capital, Quetta. According to the police, the bomb was planted on a motorbike. The second blast hit near the election office of a candidate from another party in the city of Kala Saifullah. The blast occurred a day before the general elections. The motive behind the attacks remains unclear, as no group or individual has yet claimed responsibility. Pakistan has witnessed a rampant violence, including militant attacks and attempts on lives of some candidates competing for parliament and provincial assembly seats. On Monday, at least 10 police personnel were killed in a pre-dawn attack by militants on a police station in the northwest of the country. And the German flag carrier Lufthansa Airlines has announced the cancellation of hundreds of flights on Wednesday, as ground staff members have gone on a strike over pay. All the ground staffs at Frankfurt and Munich, Lufthansa's two main hubs, as well as Berlin, Düsseldorf, and Hamburg, will be on a 27-hour industrial action starting from Wednesday afternoon. That reportedly prompted the company to cancel some 90% of the planned 600 departures and arrivals at Frankfurt ahead of the strike. More than 400 departures and arrivals at Munich Airport were also canceled. Lufthansa is the largest airline in Europe in terms of passengers. Germany has the long history of strikes in its transportation sector. The most recent major strike occurred in March 2023, involving over 400,000 transport workers that brought airports, public transport, and railways to a standstill. And that does it for this edition of World News. Thanks for being with us. It's goodbye for now.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
In the limelight.
Yemen's Ministry of Foreign Affairs has strongly condemned the latest wave of US and British airstrikes against the country, stressing that such attacks will not ever make the Yemeni nation backtrack on their pro-Palestinian stance. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Al Masira television network has covered this story and tells us more. A Yemeni deputy foreign minister, Hossein al-Ezzi, censured the latest spate of US and British airstrikes against positions across his country, emphasizing that the United States is the first and foremost threat to international shipping in the Red Sea. Speaking at a press conference in the Yemeni capital Sana'a on Monday, 5th of February, Hossein al-Ezzi stated that maritime navigation in the strategic waterway is of paramount significance, noting that the Yemeni armed forces have time and again declared that international shipping companies are safe to sail their vessels in the area if they are neither Israeli-owned nor destined to ports in the occupied Palestinian territories. Hossein al-Ezzi said, "The United States is the first and foremost threat to shipping in the Red Sea, and it was the first party that militarized the region." The senior Yemeni official added that his country's military forces will not hesitate to respond to any act of aggression against their homeland, stressing that the American and British airstrikes won't make the Yemeni people backtrack on their pro-Palestinian stance, and they will remain in solidarity with the Palestinians of the Gaza Strip. He also praised Saudi Arabia for its courageous position in the light of airstrikes launched by the United States and Britain against several sites in Yemen, stating that Sana'a and Riyadh are on the path towards reconciliation. Hossein al-Ezzi finally called for protest rallies in the US and Britain in condemnation of the attacks on his country. He also extended his gratitude to all parties that have supported Yemen's retaliatory strikes in the Red Sea. The English website of the Al Mayadeen television network has also covered the same story. Al Mayadeen reported late on Sunday, 4th of February, that US and British forces had struck 11 targets in the western Yemeni province of Al Hodeidah, with most of the aerial raids aimed at the port of Ras Isa and Al Zaydiya city. The Baqim district in the northwestern Sa'dah province was bombed four times, while the eastern flank of Sa'dah city, located 240 kilometers north of the capital Sana'a, was hit once. The United States and the United Kingdom have been carrying out airstrikes against Yemen after declaring that Yemeni forces bear the consequences of their attacks against Israeli-owned ships or merchant vessels heading to the occupied Palestinian territories. Yemenis have declared their open support for Palestine's struggle against Israeli occupation, particularly since Israel launched its brutal, devastating war on Gaza on 7th of October. Yemeni armed forces have said that they won't stop their attacks until unrelenting Israeli ground and aerial offensive against the Palestinians of Gaza ends. These airstrikes have massacred tens of thousands of innocent Palestinians since 7th of October. The leader of Yemen's Ansarullah resistance movement, Abdul Malik al-Houthi, has said that it is a great honor and blessing to be confronting America directly. The attacks have forced some of the world's biggest shipping and oil companies to suspend transit through one of the world's most important maritime trade routes. Tankers are instead adding thousands of miles to international shipping routes by sailing around the continent of Africa rather than going through the Suez Canal. Iran's Fars News Agency has also covered the same story and tells us more. Yemen's Ministry of Foreign Affairs has strongly condemned the latest wave of American and British airstrikes against its country, stressing that such attacks will not ever make the Yemeni nation and the Yemeni government backtrack on their pro-Palestinian stance. Yemen's National Salvation Government deplored the most recent assaults on multiple targets in the strategic western province of Al Hodeidah, as well as in Sa'dah province and the country's northwest, stating that continuing US and British aggression clearly points to the UN Security Council's failure to take its responsibilities. A statement released by the Yemeni Foreign Ministry read, "The American and British airstrikes are meant to obscure the Zionist defeat, and they perpetrate atrocities against ordinary people and civilians in Gaza. The statement added, these assaults won't ever make the Republic of Yemen do a volte-face on its humanitarian and ethical duties concerning the Palestinian people and their cause. A high-profile member of Yemen's Ansarullah resistance movement has also denounced the latest American and British airstrikes on targets in Yemen, emphasizing that such attacks are ineffectual. Muhammad al-Bukhaiti, a member of Ansarullah's political bureau, stated that the anti-Yemen airstrikes have so far been carried out only by the United States and Britain, signifying differences within members of the US-formed coalition in Red Sea and its imminent breakup. Muhammad al-Bukhaiti noted, rules of engagement imposed by the United States, the Zionist regime and Britain have now been rewritten. The spillover of the Gaza war will inevitably result in an end to America's hegemony across this region. The Yemeni people have declared their open support for the Palestinians of Gaza, particularly since the Israeli regime launched its devastating war on Gaza on 7th of October. The United States and Britain have been carrying out airstrikes against Yemen after the Biden administration and its allies offered the Tel Aviv regime unqualified support and said the Yemeni armed forces bear the consequences of their attacks against Israeli-owned ships or merchant vessels heading to the occupied Palestinian territories. Also, Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani has strongly condemned the new wave of airstrikes by the United States and Britain against Yemen, cautioning that such an act of military adventurism by Washington and its allies endangers security and stability of the entire West Asia region. The Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani on Sunday, 4th of February, denounced the assault as a recurrent violation of Yemen's sovereignty and territorial integrity and a violation of international law, warning that the continuation of such arbitrary measures is a blatant act of adventurism that poses a worrying threat to international peace. Kanani added, the US and Britain's misguided policy of military action against regional states for the fulfillment of their illegitimate objectives is in direct contradiction to Washington and London's claim that they do not seek the spread of war and tensions in West Asia region. The Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman, Nasser Kanani, also slammed the United States and Britain's unwavering support for the Israeli regime's brutal war in Gaza, stressing their military actions in the region are escalating chaos, disorder, insecurity and instability with the purpose of giving leeway to the Zionist regime. Nasser Kanani stated, the international community will undoubtedly hold the United States and Britain accountable for their actions. In the meantime, Kanani lashed out at the United States for launching major airstrikes on several targets in two war-torn countries in West Asia, namely Syria and Iraq, cautioning that Washington's adventurism will further escalate tensions in the region. The Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani said, the U.S. raids on Syria and Iraq were an adventurous act and another strategic mistake, which will have no result other than escalation of tensions, instability, and insecurity in the region.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
جنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس. الناس والجنة علي حبه جنة قسيم النار والجنة وصي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة علي حبه جنة قسيم النار والجنة وصي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of a guide for managers based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are currently focusing on the 53rd letter of Imam Ali alayhi salam, where he writes some important guidelines for Malik Ashtar with regards to some leadership strategies and other important matters pertaining to leadership. One of those is how to choose people and what criteria to consider when you want people to work for you in the government or other places, basically the workforce and the human resources that you need to put in these sensitive areas and sensitive positions. And one of those criteria that he mentioned is that these people have to be from, so he says, min ahli al-buyutat al-salihah, they should be from good religious families, and wal qadami bil islami al-mutaqaddima, they have to have taken the step of Islam at an early stage. They would have to be early in terms of accepting Islam, meaning that they have a longer period of stay in the path of Islam, or they were Muslims at those very, very crucial times when Islam was weak and required support.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
When you look at these statements of Imam Ali alayhi salam, where he says that, you know, they should be from good families, good houses, good households, basically, religious households, and they should be early people in terms of accepting Islam. They should be earlier in acceptance to Islam. When you look at these statements, you feel that this is some kind of favorism. Like, why should we allow people to lead, or people who became Muslims, let's say earlier, they should be the ones to be in the leadership positions. What about me, who became a Muslim, let's say 50 years later, but my iman is strong, okay? Or what about me, who my family is not so good, but I'm a good person. Why not me? These are good questions, but the point that Imam Ali alayhi salam is mentioning here is a sociological point. From a sociological perspective, when we want to look at a society at an objective level, and we want to see that that society has certain values and beliefs that it adheres to, and based on those beliefs, that society has ascertained for itself certain aims and objectives. When you look at such a society, then you need to look at it objectively and see what are those individuals, what kind of individuals will be mostly valuable to achieve these objectives? When you look at it empirically and you classify the people who are involved in making this successful, you will see that mostly in any movement, those people that came from a family that believed in that movement, who are in households that were adherent to that movement, they will be the most effective in making that movement achieve its goals and objectives. This is a sociological thing. And it's when you look at it at an objective level. Or, for example, those people who are earlier in accepting that belief or that path or that way of life or that ideology, you will notice that those who are early at those sensitive moments who are able to accept that movement, they will be stronger in their adherence and stronger in their valor and their fervor to cause their valor and their fervor to cause that objective to be achieved. So this is basically what we are talking about.
IRIB English Radio presents a detailed commentary of the Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on the program Gate of Knowledge.
Now, does that mean those people who came later, and for example, I who became a Muslim after 50 years, let's say, or I who have not been in a very Islamic household, my household is not so good, but I'm a good person, that means I don't have any place in this executive structure? I don't have any place there? No, who said that? As I said, these are the general principles. Specifically, we have in history that people who became Muslims later, but they had that strength and they had that iman, and maybe because of certain ignorance, they could not accept in the start. But later, when the veils were taken away from them, they realized and they become very strongly adherent till the end. If the imam or the leader on top sees that this adherence and this, you can say, this commitment exists in a person, that person should be brought. But normally for a leader who is involved in so many activities, it's very difficult to find such people who have come from a very bad background, let's say, or who have recently entered into the fold. It is very difficult for him to come in, quickly pick up that person and put him in a religion, in a very important position. You see, it is a sociological thing. So as such, Imam is giving him this way. This is the way out. Of course, later, if you come to know people who have that ability, bring them into that position. They should be shunned or ignored or not given authority or positions. But basically, this is the criterion to consider. The commitment, the strength in iman, and the intentions and the actual reasons behind why a person wants to do those things. Inshallah. In the later sessions, we will discuss more about this issue. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من نداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال منه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The United States has either waged wars or fanned the flames of conflict in West Asia over the past decade. In the past 4 months, America's military and political support has paved the way for Israel to prolong its brutal war on the Gaza Strip. There are also growing concerns that the conflict in Gaza could spill over into the entire region. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The website of Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. The main Muslim civil rights group in the United States has called on the Biden administration to end the Israeli regime's genocide in Gaza instead of waging war across the entire West Asia region, citing the latest strikes in Iraq and Syria as proof of the total failure of America's foreign policy in the region. The Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, the nation's largest Muslim civil rights and advocacy organization, urged President Joe Biden on Friday, 2nd of February, to end Israel's genocide in Gaza instead of waging war across the entire West Asia region. The U.S. Central Command, CENTCOM, announced that American forces had struck multiple targets in Iraq and Syria on Friday night, 2nd of February. Following CENTCOM's announcement, the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, National Executive Director Nihad Awad said, President Biden should change course to protect both American soldiers and people of the region from more violence. Justice and freedom for the Palestinian people, not more bombs, is what can build a more peaceful future for the entire region. CARE's National Executive Director Nihad Awad added, CARE welcomes a recent declaration by a federal court in California that the Israeli military's months-long attack against defenseless Palestinians in Gaza may amount to genocide. Nihad Awad said the U.S.-based civil rights group had called on Joe Biden to personally condemn the Israeli military and the massacring of Palestinian civilians in Gaza. Civilians are waiting for humanitarian aid to reach them. Nihad Awad further added that CARE had condemned the newly revealed policy of the far-right Israeli regime led by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to further implement ethnic cleansing in Gaza by burning unoccupied Palestinian homes from which residents have been forced to flee. Earlier this week, the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, condemned the Biden administration's morally depraved and glaringly inconsistent decision to engage in collective punishment against Palestinians by cutting funding to the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, UNRWA, in response to unsubstantiated allegations made by the Israeli regime. Recently, CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, welcomed a preliminary ruling by the International Court of Justice that declares South Africa's charge of genocide against the Israeli government plausible. The International Court of Justice, the ICJ, last month ordered the Israeli regime to try and prevent genocidal acts from being committed by the Israeli military inside Gaza Strip. However, the ICJ stopped short of ordering a ceasefire in Gaza. In December, CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, condemned Israel's massacring of at least 70 people in an airstrike on Gaza's Maghazi refugee camp, including murder of several pregnant Palestinian women. Also in December, the U.S.-based civil rights group called for a United Nations investigation regarding Israeli military in Gaza carrying out summary executions of unarmed Palestinian men in front of their family members. The Middle East Monitor has also covered the same story and tells us more. A U.S. federal court has implored the President Joe Biden's administration to reconsider its unflagging support for Israel's genocidal war in Gaza. The court in California made the comment in a ruling in response to a lawsuit that charged President Biden and his senior administration officials with complicity in Israel's genocidal acts in Gaza. Judge Jeffrey White of the U.S. District Court dismissed the lawsuit on jurisdictional grounds on Thursday, 1st of February, claiming that the matter lay outside the jurisdiction of his court. He added, "The court is bound by precedent and the division of our coordinate branches of government to abstain from exercising jurisdiction in this matter." Still, the ruling said it implores defendants to examine the results of their unflagging support of the military siege against the Palestinians of Gaza. The judge explained his decision that the matter lay outside the jurisdiction of his court because the Palestinian groups were asking it to interfere with U.S. foreign policy. Judge Jeffrey White said, "Because any determination to challenge the decision of the executive branch of government on support of Israel is fraught with serious political questions, the claims presented by plaintiffs here lie outside of the court's limited jurisdiction." The court also ruled that Israel's war on Gaza, which began on 7th of October, plausibly amounts to genocide. The judge said, "Yet, as the International Court of Justice has found, it is plausible that Israel's conduct amounts to genocide." The case was brought by Palestinian human rights groups and individual Palestinians against the U.S. President, Joe Biden, his Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, and his Defense Secretary, Lloyd Austin. Attorneys for the plaintiffs disputed the court's jurisdictional finding, indicating an argument for a potential appeal or request for the case to be reconsidered. Brad Parker, a senior advisor at Defense for Children International Palestine, one of the two organizational plaintiffs in this case, described the court's decision as disappointing. The Intercept quoted him as saying, "We know that U.S. weapons are integral in the genocide that we are documenting as a Palestinian human rights organization in Gaza." Brad Parker added, "It's clear what President Biden's complicity is in the destruction of Palestinian life." Ahmad Abu Ful, a Palestinian attorney at Al-Haq, the second organizational plaintiff, said the judge acknowledged that genocide is being committed in Gaza, but that basically what he was saying is just that his hands are tied. Attorneys for the plaintiffs vowed to do everything to end that complicity and ultimately end the genocide in Gaza. The British newspaper The Independent has also covered this story and tells us more. President Joe Biden sears his name in history by becoming the first sitting American president to be sued for complicity in genocide over the United States' abetment in the Israeli regime's ongoing genocidal war in Gaza. The first hearing in the case was held at the federal courthouse in Oakland, California, on Friday, 26th of January. Human rights bodies and Palestinian U.S. citizens are plaintiffs in the lawsuit, which was lodged by the Center for Constitutional Rights, a New York-based legal advocacy organization, in mid-November. The Center for Constitutional Rights filed the lawsuit on behalf of Dr. Omar al-Najjar, a physician at Nasser Medical Complex in the city of Khan Yunis in southern Gaza Strip, as well as Palestinian human rights groups Defense for Children International, Palestine, and Al-Haq. The Israeli regime has been waging war against Gaza since 7th of October, following an operation carried out by the Palestinian Territories Resistance Groups. Tens of thousands of Palestinians, some 70% of whom are women, children, and adolescents, have been killed in the brutal Israeli war on Gaza. The United States has been providing the war with an all-out military and political support. It has armed the Israeli regime with more than 10,000 tons of military hardware and blocked ratification of all United Nations Security Council resolutions that have called for cessation of hostilities and a ceasefire in Gaza. The lawsuit states, if the legal responsibility to prevent an unfolding genocide is to mean anything, indeed, if the rule of law is to signify anything, courts must have a role and responsibility to enforce these foundational international law principles. The lives of so many more people are at stake. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Your door, send me your mercy.
mercy, send me a peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Sheikh Rouhani on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله ثمانية إن أهينوا فلا يلوموا إلا أنفسهم. الذاهب إلى مائدة لم يدعى إليها. The Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says that Ali, addressing Imam Ali عليه الصلاة والسلام, saying that 8 classes of people should blame no one but themselves if they are insulted. الذاهب إلى مائدة لم يدعى إليها. They are, these 8 classes of the people are as following. He who attend a banquet without invitation. And then says that والمتأمر على رب البيت. And وَالطَّالِبُ الْخَيْرِ مِنْ أَعْدَائِهِ says that he who behaves impiously upon the owner, he who seeks goodness from his enemies, وَالطَّالِبُ الْفَضْلِ مِنَ الْلِعَامِ وَالدَّاخِلُ بَيْنَ اثْنَيْنِ فِي سِرٍ لَمْ يُدْخِلَاهُ فِيهِ. He who actually seeks favors from the mean ones. He who intrudes himself in a secret matter of two persons. And then says, وَالْمُسْتَخِفُّ بِالسُّلْطَانِ وَالْجَالِسُ فَمَجْلِسٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ بِأَهْلٍ. The Holy Prophet says that he who mock at the rulers, he who sits himself in an improper place, and then says that وَالْمُقْبِلُ بِالْحَدِيثِ عَلَى مَنْ لَا يَسْمَعُ مِنْهِ. And he who speak to him who does not listen to him. And this is a very, very beautiful and practical kind of hadith that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that you should never actually go somewhere that you're not invited. And you should not, for example, mock the owner. And you should not, for example, seek goodness from your adu, from your enemy. And you should not seek, for example, let's say, virtues from the li'am, from the means, yeah? The mean kind of people, we can say, the bad people. And of course, you should not interfere with the secrets between the people, which is none of, for example, your business. And also, you should never sit in a gathering in a place where that place does not deserve for you to sit there. And you should not always talk to the people, particularly you should never speak to the people if they not listen, if they do not listen to you. So if these sort of things happen to you, then the Prophet says that it should not blame it on anyone else except you yourself, that you paved the ground for all these things that happened to you. That's why this is a very practical kind of teaching and hadith of the Holy Prophet that we should apply in our lives. And we must be careful always about these sort of things not to happen to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Rouhani in the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله